Oh, do you want me to start? This is going to be your intro every week.
Gosh, here we go again.
Welcome to Yip Podcast. I'm Mary.
And I'm Tammy.
Yip.
And today on the show, we have a guest, Laura.
Yip.
Isn't she yip great, folks? And we're going to be talking to her specifically a little bit later on. She is our local makeup maven, and she'll be giving us some tips and tricks to make yourself look gorgeous on stage and off. Couple things going into this week's podcast. I've had some feedback from my family from the last week's podcast. For my brother, I've been told to not say super as much. Apparently, I overuse that word. And my mom couldn't tell me and Tammy's voices apart. So thanks, Mom.
I think my voice is a lot deeper, but maybe I get really high. That sounds horrible.
Tammy's getting high. You heard it here first, folks.
I took a Bikram yoga class last Saturday, which is...
Now, which kind of... I'm not up on my yoga.
It's yoga in 103 degrees.
Oh, that's the hot one.
Talk about... I kind of like prep myself. I was like, okay, it's going to be really hot. And so when I got there, it wasn't as hot as I thought it was going to be, which was good.
We live in Florida. It's relative.
Yeah, that's probably correct. And it was intense. I was sore for like 2 days. It was ridiculous. And... I guess as a dancer, it was odd for me to have to do some of the things. I don't take yoga. I'm not into yoga. And I literally did this so I could force myself to do yoga. And I was thinking, this at least will give me like a challenge. So this, I'm going to go do this. But as a dancer, you know, we're taught to not use our lower back for anything. Bad, bad, lower back, bad. And in yoga, and specifically in this one, they wanted you to like really stretch out your lower back and really like lean into it, and so it was very
but
difficult.
Like leaning backwards.
Yes.
I've heard about that type of yoga, that sometimes it can be very dangerous because all your muscles are super warmed up, you don't realize that they're not really warmed up.
Correct.
So I would be concerned about that. Like, I've taken, I think, Ashtanga yoga, mm-hmm. and that kicked my butt quite enough, thank you. And I love it. And I mean, when I have the funds, I will be going back to class. But I don't feel a need to become hotter than I already am. It's hot. I came out weird.
You're hot, Mary.
It is Florida. Can I repeat? Just, and it's warm enough already.
I don't know. Like, it just seems so, like, intriguing to me. But, yeah, the lower back thing kind of threw me for a loop. And I really... Because I know that, you know, I could definitely push myself too far, I made sure, like, I tried to stay in my comfort zone. And that and locking your knees, because we're so used to being, like, bent knees, you know, or slight bend in the knees. And this was all locking your knees, and I'm like, why? I don't know how to lock my knees. I cannot lock my... I am standing. This is not good for me to lock my knees. So, but much like your style of yoga, as soon as I get $15, I'm going back to that class. I loved it. I came out, and at first I thought I was going to pass out when I just, you know, ended the class because I was so hot. But then when I stepped out into our Florida sunshine of 96 degrees, I actually felt cool. Like, it was almost like a cool breeze. It was so awkward.
You're probably like, well, I don't know about you, but when I left yoga class, I was like dripping with sweat.
Oh, it was
like you're doing the downward dogs, and the sweat's like dripping off your nose.
That's they have... you put your yoga mat down, and then you put a towel on top of it. And that's how you do the class. Oh, except this guy next to me, he was like this big muscle guy, and he sweated on me. So gross. I mean, it was totally, obviously, it wasn't like he purposely, like, but he went to do a move, and I had... During class, if you feel like dizzy or anything like that, especially if you're new, you're supposed to just lie down on your back and, you know, try and chill out. So I'm lying down, and he does this thing where, I don't know, we came over the mat or something. And so he was kind of like right next to me. And so as he was doing the move, he's sweating, and I'm like, I'm trying to lie there with my eyes shut, and I just keep twitching. And I just ended up, even though I was dizzy, I got up and just pushed on because I was like, I cannot lie on this mat while this guy is sweating on me. So, anyway, I had to share that story because it was something that happened this week, and I just...
I love yoga.
I just had to push myself
like
to the limit.
Bad college date. I just can't lay here while he sweats on me.
All right. I wanted to start with Tribe Topics because I was trolling around Tribe.
Ooh,
you were? That's exciting. I totally was. First thing is, I was looking at the Fat Chance Belly Dance Tribe, and I saw that Carolina's got a blog. So I went to go check that out. That was pretty cool. I saw the note on the blog that talked about the Devyani Dance Studio and that flash flood. We've all got our thoughts for Devyani's Dance Studio, hoping they'll get back in shape really soon. We're especially excited because Mega from Devyani and Carolina are going to be coming down to our neck of the woods in July for General Skills Intensive. So we hope that everything is smoothed out by the time they come into town so there's no stress. I was also on Armoire Awards.
I love that tribe. You know,
I was watching some really horrible ones and they were making me kind of sad. I was in a mood. So I clicked on this one that was called Chicken Dance or something. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
And it was great.
Somebody in a chicken dance or a chicken costume with a belly dance costume on top of
big yellow chicken costume with pink wings, mm-hmm. and then pink coin scarves for a top and a skirt, dancing around to the Shakira song Whenever, Wherever. So I was inspired to think of the worst belly dance crimes while I was watching Armoire Awards panel discussion. What are the worst belly dance, if you're dancing, what's the worst thing you can do to affront the audience? My number one is shimming with wide legs.
Oh, I was thinking laybacks with wide legs facing the audience. Oh, that's the worst, and it happens way too often.
And porn face.
Oh. Porn face or scared face?
I would rather have scared face than porn face.
But when does scared face become porn face? When it's like rubber doll, blow up doll.
Usually scared.
Mary,
scared,
I don't think your mother's going to like listening to this.
You don't know my mom. No, but scared face seems more like wide eyes. And then when people go into porn face, they do like the sultry, like half closed eyes. That's the difference that I think.
Speaking of porn face, did you see that on Armoire Awards too? The lady that does porn face.
Oh my gosh. She's got so many videos on YouTube. My favorites are the one where it's like they shift colors.
Yeah. It's like a bad trip with porn face in the middle.
You just sit there staring and then you're like, I've been watching this for 4 minutes. I'm going to go jump off a roof. She seems to really love dancing. And at least she makes an effort to have a pretty backdrop. Unlike, you know, a lot of people have like their dorm rooms in the background or
like their
the
big
laundry
dirty
room.
Closet.
I know.
At least clean your closet.
At
clean
least
it up.
She's got ambiance. You have to give her that.
I guess.
I have a tribe suggestion.
Oh, you do? What's your tribe topic?
It's a beauty tribe topic.
Ooh.
So I was trolling on Tribe as well, and somebody had posted how to get dreads not permanent. Like they liked the look of hair dreads, but they didn't want the permanent look of dreads. And there is actually a new invention on the market. It is the Remington Emi. And actually how I found out about it is that I went to Ulta because they were doing a super sale on their waver machines, which normally cost over $50 and they were selling them for $20. So I went into the store and said, so I'm going to buy this. What do you think of this contraption? And the store clerk said, actually, it doesn't work. We get tons of them returned to us. Don't waste your money. Do not buy this. What sort of style are you looking for? And I said, I want perfect beachy waves. So she said, you need to get the Emi by Remington, and it's only sold at Target. So I raced over to Target and purchased it, and it looks like a regular hair dryer. The hair dryer barrel, it is a vertical tube that attaches to it. What you basically do is take a section of your hair, put it into the top of the tube, and it twirls it like a tornado vortex. Basically, what happens is it twirls and twirls and twirls, so you have dreadlocks, what looks like dreadlocks, all around your hair. After it completely dries, you're supposed to untangle with your fingers the dreadlocks, and it gives you perfectly beachy waves. Us tribalistas look at it, and Sarah specifically was like, I wonder what would happen if you just sprayed it with hairspray. You would have those perfect dreadlocks. So it is definitely something that you should pick up. They've actually done news programs on Tampa local station news on the hairdresser that is changing women's lives right now.
So,
it's and how much is this?
It is $22 at Target.
Oh, that's cool.
Run and buy it. As you can see, I did beachy waves before I came over.
Gorgeous. I really like it, Laura. My tribe of the week is called Dancer's Mind. And the tribe is a place to discuss anything psychological or emotional in relation to your belly dance performance or class or relationships within troops and everything. But it's all related to feelings behind it versus, oh, what's toxic humor? You know, and some of the topics that were covered this week, one was called letting go. And it's specifically related to something that Mary and I talked about on last episode, which was having a real problem with taking yourself seriously in your dance or not taking yourself seriously and kind of letting go of yourself, especially in class. A lot of students, new students in particular, are very nervous. Even now, I mean, you're in a class with people you know, and you get kind of nervous and you don't want to let people in on what you're thinking.
Very self-conscious sometimes.
That's it. Self-conscious. Thank you. That's right. See, I was giving you words last week, and this week you're giving me words.
Symbiotic relationship.
Love it. So it's just interesting to see what other people's thoughts and ideas are on how to let go. And I mean, for me personally, I become my true self like when I'm dancing. Other people, and this has been a topic on this tribe as well, other people feel like they put on a persona when they're dancing and it's not them at all, which is good too. But for me, I read it and I'm like, wow, that's exactly opposite of the way I feel.
And I think it depends on your personality. Like when I was doing cabaret, I put on more of a persona. And I'm a upbeat person naturally. It was easy for me to be happy, but that sort of more always on cabaret face. So like I had a dance name when I was a cabaret dancer, and I really felt like you're sort of putting on a skin of somebody else. And it didn't feel awkward or anything, but it was just, you know, you put on your different hat to when you're a cabaret dancer. And I don't feel that way as a tribal dancer.
I can see that, especially with the fact with cabaret that a lot of people do use stage names versus their real names, whereas tribal, it seems that everyone kind of, well, not everyone, sorry, I take that back. A lot of people tend to use their regular given names. So anyway, that's my tribe of the week is Dancer's Mind. I think it's interesting if you're on tribe, just like to check in on events and check up on your friends real quick. This tribe probably isn't for you. But because it's a tribe that you really have to give a lot of thought to before you post, and you're really just psychologically looking at dance, so you're looking at it from a whole different perspective than what you normally would. Okay, now we're on your music. Sorry, Mary.
For our first music spotlight today, we have a musician called Stina Nordenstam, and she's from Sweden. She's been compared a lot to Björk, and I can sort of see the similarities, I guess, in as much that they're both kind of experimental and not really mainstream. But other than that, I mean, Björk does a little more, for lack of a better word, yelling. I love Björk. Don't give me that look, Tammy. I love Björk. But, you know, she'll get that very intense, you know, sort of harsh thing that she does sometimes, and then she'll go back to like the little girl sound. And Stina Nordenstam pretty consistently sticks in this really fragile sort of voice. She's something of a recluse. She doesn't do a whole lot of publicity. And the three songs that are in the little clips you're going to hear in just a second are I See You Again, Bird on a Wire, and I Dream of Jeannie. And they're not songs that except for the last one, I Dream of Jeannie, they're not songs that I necessarily would find it really easy to perform to, but I find myself listening to them a lot when I'm like warming up or preparing to perform or preparing to choreograph, especially if it's something where I'm going to have to emote more, because it's music that's sort of, I don't know, gets my melancholy mood going.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep. I really like her. I think she's really cool. I don't know, like, you know, when we were talking about how it's hard to get unselfconscious and emoting and all that, I feel like I can emote more when I'm listening to Stina Nordenson music. Granted, I'm usually, like, by myself in my apartment, so I can emote all I want because there's no one there except for my cats. And they're not telling anybody.
No, they are not.
But it's good music, and you can talk seem forever to it. Who does love a good talk seem? I know, I love a good talk seem. Okay.
2 weeks ago, we went to a friend of ours. Her dance studio put on a show, a recital, if you will. For some reason, I've never actually heard them in the belly dance world called recitals. That's kind of what.
Well,
it,
no, well, they were called. Well, they're called student showcases.
That's it.
Because they're more glamorous that way.
Yeah, and I
recitals
guess
are for 8-year-olds.
Yeah, that's I guess why. And there's more of an adult. Adult factor in student showcases.
My recitals.
No, not adult theme.
Rating AO.
Our friend Holly, her studio is called Elements of Dance.
Okay, so you are Holly, and you are the main instructor for your dance school. And where do you teach?
We are right out of Sanford, Florida. And you can find us at elementsofdance.com and a phone number, 407-808-2529, anytime, and ask for Jolie.
So you meet on Sundays and Mondays. Are you accepting new students right now?
Always, always accepting it.
And what types of people do you think should go into belly dance?
I think anybody who loves music could appreciate belly dance. I have seen all body types, all shapes, all sizes, all ages. Everybody can do belly dancing.
All right, so with Holly's show, what were some of your highlights, Mary?
Highlights. Okay. There were a couple girls that really stood out to me. Overall, I love the vibe of the show. Like, Holly's such a sweet person. Like, you kind of attract, you know, how you are. You know, not so nice. Studio leaders tend to have not so nice people in their troops, that kind of thing. Holly's, like, crazy nice. And so so her students were really, really nice. I didn't meet everybody, but a couple of favorites just as dancers. There was one girl who I believe her name was Tiff. She danced in the first number, Winds of Change. She also danced in Hey Ya. Really, really cute girl. Great smile. And I just loved her energy. Like, just her presence on stage was really, really engaging. I really liked watching her. I also really liked, in the second half of the show, I liked Kelly, who danced to Black Magic Woman. Who does not like Santana? Everybody was like, Santana! Yeah! And she was awesome. She had a great costume.
She was one of my favorites as well. I mean, that... She had that pinwheel skirt and it was, oh, and the double veils. It was awesome. She was really good. That, oh, and then the second part, the fire drum number as well was
really
cool.
Oh, I love
really
that one.
Cool. Holly did an awesome job in the choreography of that and really pairing people up well who looked like they would just naturally dance together.
It was really, really fun. Like it was definitely one of my favorite numbers. They have this group called the Magic Carpet Riders, which is the kids' class. And they were adorable. They did a couple of numbers with like Alvin and Chipmunk's version, Staying Alive and Witch Doctor. And then one of the itty bitty bellies, this 4-year-old dancer who was absolutely adorable, did this genie song with one of the other older girl students.
Okay, right now I am here with Holly's kids class. And this class is actually not taught by Holly. It is taught by, you have to say your name at least once. What is your name and which class do you teach?
I am Brooklyn and I teach the little kid class.
And how do you know Holly?
She's my mother.
And are you very proud?
I am very proud.
Excellent. Now, right now I have 6 girls in front of me from the kids class. I would like you to say your first name, please, and how long you've been dancing.
I'm Marissa and I've been dancing for a long time.
My name is Stephanie and I've been dancing for a while.
My name is Allison and I've been dancing for a little while.
My name is Isabel and I dance for a lot of time.
My name is Wilson and I danced for a long time. My name is Lily, and I've been dancing since I was 5.
Wow, so a long time. How old are you right now?
9.
And how old are the rest of you?
4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And how old is Brooklyn?
16.
A good number. Okay, next question. What is your favorite thing about belly dance?
That we get to dress up in cute clothes.
That belly dance is fun. That it's always different kinds of music.
Now, what is your favorite part about costuming?
I like the makeup.
I like the skirts.
I like everything.
How do you feel when you're dancing?
Excited.
Awesome. Fun.
Proud. I like that last one. How do you feel when you're belly dancing? Do you feel happy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah!
Oh, one of my favorite ones was our friend Jessica, and it's more than just because it's our friend, but her very first solo, I loved it.
My name is Jessica, and I've been dancing for about 3 years now. I started with Holly, and Holly introduced me to one of her friends, Lacey Sanchez of Florida Tribal Dance, who I now take classes with also, so I'm definitely take a lot more classes of tribal now, but I still keep my cabaret technique up too, just for fun.
What do you do as a regular day job?
I'm actually a newborn nursery nurse.
Very exciting. Do the people at the hospital know that you belly dance?
Yes, because there's probably about 3 or 4 of us on our floor that actually do, so.
And is that how Holly recruits everybody?
Yes, actually, and we practice in the break room. No.
Yep.
You could tell she was nervous, but then, like, you know, she really got into it. And
she did way better than when I did my first solo. I noticed specifically because I have a hard time looking up. Like, I look down a lot when I'm dancing. I think it's partially because I'm tall and partially just because I get nervous and the floor does not judge. So she looked up a lot. So I noticed that especially. What did she do? Confident.
She did a tribal solo.
Yeah, it's tribal. Bye.
Next.
Aria danced. She did really
oh,
well.
Oh, dude.
She's just naturally a great dancer.
I haven't seen her dance for maybe almost 3 years. She's dancing at Disney now in Morocco.
I saw her dance at Disney.
And she's always been a great performer, like very charismatic, really, really slinky. She's just one long spine. I think she's made out of rubber. She just snakes everywhere. She's like absolutely great. You know, it's been such a long time since I've seen her dance that I was really struck by how much she's developed and matured as a performer. She's really confident and calm, but I guess, you know, if you dance every day at Disney, work in the crowd. And she worked the crowd. She was great.
I kind of wrote notes on the show, and my note was wicked laybacks.
Yeah, she did a Turkish drop, too.
Yeah,
she Turkish
did.
Drop.
Yeah,
she bent herself in half backwards. That was nice.
She also did a little bit of sword work. I actually would have kind of liked a little bit more sword work, but she did a little bit. Do you have anything specific you want to say that wasn't necessarily a highlight?
Well, in general, we're going to be doing a lot of reviews as an excuse to go to more shows. I mean, you need to review things sort of in the spirit of which they're being put on. This is a student showcase. You know, it's not like I went to go see Belly Dance Superstars, which is definitely not a slur since I just saw them like a month ago and I was definitely not impressed. But let's not talk about that. So as a student showcase, I really loved it. I thought it had good energy and I thought all the students looked really happy on stage. And for the most part, they really knew their moves. And so it looked pretty together. The only, I guess, well, it wasn't a low light, but at the end of the first act, Aria and her husband did a dance medley that I think somebody told me that they also do at a local restaurant. It's like part of their show. But
it would make sense. It would make sense.
It looked very, very together. It looked very polished. And it was the 13th number in Act 1. And it went on for about, I'd say, at least 10 or 15 minutes.
I would say about 15 minutes. Because it was several songs. Yeah.
Individually, I liked them all. They did a big medley thing. And Aria, her husband is a Latin dancer, so she's been doing a lot of Latin dancing the past couple of years. So they started out with sort of like a jazzy number where they used a chair, and then they went into, I'm probably messing up, they did salsa, they did samba, they did, I think, merengue.
Yeah, they did. They also did, it looked like a tango at one point.
They did a tango at one point.
Aria pulled out the ice swings.
And then he came back and they did this like sort of pseudo comedy, pseudo serious belly dance routine.
Yeah.
And I liked it. If I'd seen it at a restaurant, I would have felt that it was a very complete show. But as part of another show, it seemed to go on a little too long.
Yeah, it was like a show within a show.
I can't complain about the dancing. And it's funny because I don't know a whole lot about Latin dancing. I think I've taken a total of 2 salsa classes in my entire life. But so when I was watching them, I was kind of thinking, you know, oh, her husband's a little loose. And then somebody else was like, oh, you know, I was thinking that Aria was kind of stiff through the Latin numbers. So it's personal preference, I guess. I don't know a lot about... But I mean, I really like Aria's carriage, so I didn't have a problem with that. But I really liked it, but I think in this particular venue, it seemed to go on long. But now everybody I asked about it said they loved it.
Yeah, and I'm in agreement. By itself, I think it was a great piece. I mean, it was, well, personally, I really like Latin dancing, so I was all about it. But to go on for as long as it did, I mean... In a student showcase, I almost think if it would have been cut in half, we could have seen another student piece.
So we liked it, and we would have loved it in a restaurant setting. It just seemed not maybe quite so appropriate in that setting. Other than that, I think the only thing that I would say is that just because they're still a relatively new studio, they're still figuring out how to put on a show, and I am not good at putting on shows, so I can't like be a crazy critic, but the only suggestion I would give... to them would to be to edit their songs better. Usually, you know, if we're doing a show, we have to get our CD with one song on it to our troupe leader, and then, you know, it gets put on one master disc. And there were some problems. I felt bad for the guy running the sound because there were some problems with, you know, which CD is it? Is it here? Is it there? And there were also some of the routines where there was a lot of introduction music and the dancers were sort of just standing there looking awkward.
In this instance, in particular, they didn't have curtains to come out from. Mm-hmm. So the dancers really were just on the side. And so you could see that they were getting nervous waiting mm-hmm. for their one count to come on stage. So as an audience member, it's awkward to look at them as they're trying to avoid looking at us. And then again, I mean, even when they do have curtains, I agree. It's kind of like, oh, there's 64 counts of music.
And then you look here. at the DVDs later and you're like, wow, that's a lot of dead time. You know, you didn't realize it at the time because you're like trying to remind yourself to breathe and to remember all the steps and stuff. And then you look at it later and wonder why there's nothing going on. So right now I'm going to take this moment to plug a really, really easy program to use, which I use a lot when I'm editing music. It's called Audacity, and you can download it for free off the internet. You can find it at audacity.sourceforge.net. We'll put the link up on our blog, but it makes for a much more professional looking show. It saves a lot of wasted time. People get nervous when there's a lot of music playing and no one's doing anything. They don't know if something's gone wrong. So only critiques would be those things.
Mary from Yip Podcast, and could you please tell us your name and how long you've been dancing with Holly?
This is Lisa Stern, and I've been dancing with Holly for a year and a half.
Now, what do you do as a day job, and like, how did you get into dancing? You know, who told you about it? What did you see? How did this magic happen?
I'm a horse trainer, and I was supposed to get married 2 years ago, and I was going to dance for my husband. So I had to find an instructor. And then I decided not to get married, but the dancing I had to keep doing. So it's been almost, 2 years, a year and a half, and I'm still dancing, but the guy is gone.
Awesome.
Yeah, but you didn't expect that kind of answer.
This is Nick in the final cut. So what is something about belly dance that you love?
Well, the whole reason that I continued dancing was I got a little depressed, and it really helped lift my spirits quite a bit. And I am a horse trainer, so I'm shoveling the barn, and I'm dirty, and it's nice to kind of clean up and wear pretty shiny, noisy things. And it's just, it makes you feel good. And the thing I like the most about it is that it doesn't matter your shape, your size, your age, everybody's beautiful. It's great.
What would you have to say about Holly as an instructor?
Patience. Patience, sweet, kind, and a great dancer. lovely person, great friend.
How many numbers are you in tonight?
Five.
Okay, what's your favorite number that you're going to be in tonight?
I am in Take a Chance on Me, and I'm the lead lip syncer. And I love the finale, so I love them both the same for different reasons.
Well, we are very excited to have the lead lip syncer as one of our interviewees. I mean, I'm flustered. I just didn't know that you were the lead lip syncer.
Do you want my autograph?
Later. For right now, thank you for being interviewed, and could you give us your best yip?
Yay!
I guess my biggest highlight from the show was the finale.
Me too. I love the finale so much.
And it was to Dancing Queen. Who does not like ABBA? And the little kids got on there, and they're in their cute little disco clothes.
What I think the reason I liked it so much was because everyone could go on stage for this final number, and I just thought that was awesome to be able to do that, because there's some studios where it's just not possible. What was the there it is. It was on the number Q, which was the queuing. It was like
oh yeah,
that's a cute name for.
I didn't even think about that.
Holly dabbles in pieces of tribal that she enjoys. So she teaches what she's calling queuing versus calling it tribal or ATS or tribal style.
I think she was calling it tribal. And then Jessica, our friend Jessica, who we've been talking a lot about, came to Holly recommended Lacey Studio, said, hey, check out Lacey Studio or whatever. And Jessica came to start taking tribal classes. She loved it. And then she said she went back to Holly and was like, we can't call it tribal anymore because it's not tribal. And she was like, oh, Mary and Tammy, I don't know what you're going to think. And I thought it was cute.
I thought there was a couple moves that I totally want to learn.
And I mean, the thing is, people get all hung up about this, but tribal improv is just, it's just what it is. It's improv. You know, as long as you're not claiming to be American tribal style, you can do whatever you want to do. Like Unmada has their crazy long combos. That's the format they do with so many long combos, which a lot of other improv troupes don't do. And so this was more towards that style. They did more long combinations. It did strike me as more tribere than tribal, just because they had the sort of fusion tribal, urban tribal costuming, but a lot of their moves were still cabaret flavored, like they did the hand on the head and the other hand out in front of them, that kind of, like flirty posture.
Which to me only makes sense. I mean, I think as an instructor, you have to instruct what you know.
Exactly.
And Holly, she's pulling just that improv piece out of it and adding what she enjoys, which is, I mean, her background's in cabaret and she's a beautiful cabaret dancer. And everything is taken from something else, which to me is the beauty of the dance. I mean, it's handed from one person to another. You know, now in our day and age, we have more of a written language. We can have the internet. But back in the day, there wasn't a YouTube. It was, you've seen a performance and were inspired and maybe learned something from that instructor and then made it your own and passed it on. And I think beauty comes from that.
So we are post-show, and I have one of the dancers here. What is your name and how long have you been dancing?
My name's Peggy Reyes, and I've been dancing about 6 years.
Great. So what did you think of the show? How do you feel? Are you feeling euphoric? What was your favorite number? Tell us all about it.
Dancing Queen finale was my absolute favorite. It was wonderful. It was so much fun.
Did everything run pretty smoothly?
It went very smoothly, yes. We remembered pins. Nothing fell off. That was good.
How do you like Holly as a teacher?
Holly's amazing. She's so kind and sweet and can teach everyone and takes so patient. And she's amazing, and she doesn't know how amazing she really is.
What is your daytime job? What do you do for a living, and how did you get into belly dance?
I'm a nurse. I work in the NICU, the neonatal ICU now, and I worked with Holly at the hospital in labor and delivery, and she invited me to class, and it's history from there.
That seems to be a running theme. I think she's turning the entire floor of the hospital into belly dancers.
I think so. I was actually angry with her for not telling me about it earlier. I think she danced for 6 months before she invited me to class, and changed my life. So we're trying to convert everyone.
Yep.
So what did you think about your very first belly dance show?
Well, it was great. Yeah, it was a little different than I expected, but with the variety it had, it was good.
Well, what did you expect?
I wasn't quite sure. I was invited and thought, well, I'll see what it's all about. I mean, you see the films and all that that have the belly dancers in it, and you kind of picture that as being what it is, but it's a lot more than that.
Well, do you think you'd be dragged willingly to another show?
Possibly. I could see that happening.
Well, thank you for being on Yip Podcast. Could you give us your best Yip?
Yip.
Welcome to Yip Podcast. How did you enjoy the show?
I thought the show was great. I've seen several of them over the years, and they just keep getting better and better and better. They start off with the simplest of moves and turn them into real intricate, very, very... It's really nice to see. It's a great experience.
So how did you end up here? Do you know somebody in the show?
As a matter of fact, I do. My wife started belly dancing roughly 3.5 years ago. And initially, I thought it was going to be a fad that would quickly pass. And 3.5 years later, it's turned into at least one entire day a week, which she absolutely loves. It makes her feel great, and that's a great thing.
So would you recommend belly dance as a hobby?
Absolutely. And I can tell you that it may start off as something may invite you to and you're not quite sure, but she became, my wife, that is, became quickly hooked, and now she just can't get enough of it and wants to get as many people involved as possible.
Can you give us your best yip?
Yip!
We totally love Holly. We wish her the best, and there's going to be a link to her studio online if you'd like to. If you live in Sanford in the area, she's definitely a good option.
Yeah, it seemed they just all love her as an instructor and find her very inspiring.
All right, so our second spotlighted musician for the week is a group called Devotchka. It's a quartet of musicians. And I looked them up on Wikipedia because I didn't know anything about them personally. I've had their music, but I didn't know, you know, fun factoids. So according to Wikipedia, they are an indie rock group from Denver, Colorado, and their name derives from a Russian word that means little girl. That's cute. They also scored Little Miss Sunshine. Little girl scored Little Miss Sunshine. Isn't that exciting? I love that movie. In their music, they mix a bunch of different styles. Romani, Greek, punk. Some of their songs sound really folk. Like, it's really hard to pin down a specific style. You can't just go, oh, they're punk or whatever. But it's great because there's always one of their songs that fits your mood. Oh, also fun. A couple years ago, or a while ago, they toured with Dita Von Teese. Isn't that fun?
That is.
Yeah.
She's hot.
She is hot. Well, of course, like, once I read that, I was like, oh, Dita Von Teese. And I had to go to YouTube and, like, watch a bunch of Dita Von Teese videos and stuff. When her and Marilyn Manson were dating, Marilyn Manson was one of the guys who wrote the music for Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. And I really like the music for Resident Evil. And it's funny because I hadn't seen him speak at all. I just assumed he was this crazy guy.
He's brilliant.
He's crazy brilliant. Smart. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I had no idea.
I love him. I have all of his albums.
His music scares the heck out of me.
No.
Anyway, so Dita Von Teese. So they toured with Dita Von Teese around the country. And you can definitely see that the music would work for burlesque.
I'm going to love it.
They're touring right now, but they're not going to be further east of Austin, Texas. They're out on West Coast and touring Canada. So no tour for us, but they're touring through October. For those of you who are out in the West Coast or in Canada, look them up. So you're going to hear three more songs. And I picked a couple that seem to lean more towards dance. They're all very different. The first one is like fast waltz, like almost a Viennese waltz. It's really fast. So you'd have to be comfortable with that sort of time. The second one is called In the Tower, and it's slow and slinky. I like it a lot. And the third one is in French for our guest, Laura, who loves French. Viens avec moi. I don't know if I said that right, but it translates to come with me. I like it because it's got this cool accordion thing going on, and I just want to shimmy and then layer stuff on top of it like the entire time.
Thank you.
That was Devotchka. Look them up. They're awesome. Did you shimmy on the third song? Did you shimmy?
I was shimmying.
I was shoulder shimmying. So the reason we have the lovely Laura here is to just pick her brain for makeup tips. So why don't you give us your top five products? What are five products you always have to have with you, on you, in your pocket, in your bathroom?
Sure. Well, I am a huge proponent of not only the high-end department store brands, but also drugstore brands. I'm not sure if your listeners know, but the majority of makeup products are manufactured in just a small number of plants within the U.S. So products that are made under the brand Chanel also carry the brand L'Oreal, Stila, which is carried in Sephora. That's the L'Oreal brand made in the same plant. So there you can get some pretty decent products for a low-end drugstore price. So my top five, only picking five, that was extremely difficult. My top five products are, number one is by Benefit Company. It is the Bad Gal Lash Mascara. The trick about this mascara is the size of the brush. Size matters, ladies. And as you can see...
Wow, it's like twice the size. It is crazy.
Precisely twice the size.
And the skinny one's the MAC?
Correct.
Wow, that's kind of sad.
So the MAC has like a sort of standard, what you'd expect to see in a mascara wand. And the other one is hugeungus.
Exactly. This is much bigger. You can really get under the lash. The size of the brush is completely instrumental to providing those long lashes, but also providing volume. I call it my false lashes in a tube.
Just because I'm like cheap on everything.
Absolutely.
I need to know just prices of stuff when you...
Absolutely. Bad Gal Lash is carried at Sephora and Macy's. It's $19 a tube. Can last you a pretty long time. Definitely worth the investment. For our budget conscious dancers, I highly recommend CoverGirl has come out with a new product called the Lash Blast. It has one of those plastic brushes, still bigger than anything on the drugstore market as is. Definitely provides the same. The formula is similar, and it definitely is something that I use in a pinch. Maybelline has also come out with, and you can see the size of the brush on there. The brush is much larger. It is the Maybelline Colossal Volume Express. It's another extremely good product. So all of those, the Benefit Bad Gal Lash for $19, the CoverGirl Lash Blast for approximately $10, and the Maybelline Colossal Volume, approximately about the same price, are all great buys for your money. My second product on my top five beauty is Revlon ColorStay Liquid Liner. Liquid liners are great. ColorStay by Revlon is definitely the best liquid liner that I've ever used compared to Sephora brands, Dior, any of the other top brands that you're looking at. The secret is it has a felt tip brush. When you're applying liquid liner, they have the little brushes with the bristles, and that doesn't give you the sharp line, exaggerated line that you're looking for. This definitely is much easier to apply, and it provides a more matte finish, so it gives you that charcoal black line. It never flakes. This is a staple. Every time I perform, I use it. There is a trick to applying liquid liner that it would be beneficial is you start and you make dots along your lash line as close as you can get to the lash line, and then you just connect the dots with that liner. The next item that I have on my list is a product that is only available at Walgreens and is in a staple of every professional makeup artist's bag, and those are eyeliners made by Jordana. They're approximately $1.99 at any Walgreens, and they are probably the creamiest eyeliners on the market. The definitely glides on very smoothly, comes in a variety of colors from black to white to teal to sage, and they're just the creamy texture of them. They're no miss. They were voted top product in Vogue and in Allure magazine.
And for $1.99, mm-hmm. how can you go wrong?
You can't beat it. Exactly. You can't beat it. That brings me to product number four, which is the best lip liner that I have ever used in my entire life. I have used lip liners from high-end brands, low-end brands, and there is one that has consistently taken the cake, and it is not Jordana. It is actually you can pick this up at Walmart for 93 cents. It is Wet n Wild brand. The color is Brandywine. The color number is 666. And
that's why you like it.
I dare anyone to find me a skin tone that doesn't work with this lip liner. It is sort of a metallic-y rose and will match with any color, any facial feature, any complexion, from olive tones to our African-American ladies to our, you know, very pale women. It's the perfect shade. And you line your lips. I fill them completely in and add a lipstick or a lip gloss over top of it. And it gives that perfect look that's appropriate for stage. Because as you know, when you're on stage, you need something a little brighter, a little darker than everyday wear. I've always used this pencil and I can't find it. I do not have one complaint about it. So again, that's Wet n Wild Brandywine, Walmart for 93 cents. Can't go wrong.
Well, and I think of stuff like Walgreens and CVS. I mean, I know I've told you, it's like they always have sales going on. They always have like the buy one, get one.
Buy two, get two now is,
yeah,
is
it's
huge.
Like crazy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the fact that she's like, oh, get this at Walgreens and Walmart. I mean, really, can you get any cheaper? No, not really. So, but I just love that this stuff is affordable. Yes. It's affordable.
And a lot of people turn their nose up. You know, I go to Sephora and I go to Ulta and I go to Neiman Marcus. I mean, I have paid $35 for an eyeshadow before, much to my husband wanting to pass out.
And Mary looked like she was going to pass out.
And really have found that it is no different. We haven't even gotten to my number five best beauty, which is a high-end product. This is Stila Convertible Color. It's carried in Sephora, also in Ulta stores, and I believe the department stores that carry it are Bloomingdale's, Neiman Marcus, and Macy's. Convertible Color is a cream tone blush, eyeshadow, lipstick. You can use it either. It comes in this adorable little pot with a mirror of various colors. They also have duos. My favorite is Petunia, which is very scary when you look at it because it looks bright orange, but you can see when you apply it, comes on your finger very bright, but when you apply it onto your face, it gives you that rosy, flushed glow, like you were spending the afternoon. It's sort of like a fall. If I was spending the afternoon in the fall, Central Park, after meandering down Park Avenue, this is my windblown cheek look.
I am just so entranced.
And we all love a good windblown cheek.
I know I do.
That's right. But you can see the pigment that's picked up, and it definitely stays because it's a cream based. It's not going to fall down your face. You don't have to worry about brushing it off as in a powder, because not only does it look fabulous on your cheeks, you can use it on your lips. And I've also used it on my eyes as well as a nice pick me up to my shadow, a nice bright shadow to pop it forward. So those are my top five beauty picks. The Stila Convertible Cover retails for approximately $20 to $22.
Well, it was super awesome of you. Super awesome.
Would he care if I said it? It was super awesome of you to stop by, Laura.
I definitely enjoyed every single minute. And we hope to have you back again soon.
Thank you.
Can we get your best yip?
Yep.
So, Mary, what's up next?
All right. Coming up next, we're going to be having a belly dance soap opera on our podcast for no reason other than
we love it.
I think it's funny. So we're going to have our first little episode today. And here it is.
When purity of movement is threatened by the tidal wave of vanity, where the sequined veil of mystery meets the coochied hips of deceit, where the passion of the dance is consumed by the riptide of neurosis, you will find Shimmy Cove. This week on Shimmy Cove, we meet the players. What? You want to know my name? It's Jenny. Jenny Porter.
Why?
What's your name? Are you investigating something? That's really more in my line, you know. I am the star reporter for the Shimmy Sun, the biggest newspaper in Shimmy Cove. If there's news going on, then you'll find me there. If there isn't news going on, I'll probably be there too. In a town this size, when there's no drama, you have to make regular life dramatic. And where's the drama in this town? Belly dance. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. What about murder or burglary or suicide? Well, in the past few years, the most dramatic thing to happen outside of belly dance was the former mayor being caught in flagrante delicto with the 19-year-old singing telegram girl that his wife sent him for his birthday. I have it on good authority that Mrs. Mayor had not expected a rendition of Hail to the Chief to end in tonsil hockey and rug burn. But yeah, outside of that, we report the belly dance wars, and our readers eat it up like cake.
I'm Nadine, the owner of Shimmy Spot, a belly dance store and dance studio. I grew up in Shimmy Cove, left for college, but came back right after graduation. And then, the accident. I couldn't be here for a while, so I left. But now I'm back home, starting my own small business, starting to look forwards to the future, starting to heal, starting to forgive, starting my life over. I don't know if my studio will succeed. I've already got quite a few students, around 45, I guess. I love teaching, and I hope I can do it for a very long time, but I don't know if I can survive the pressure of a multitude of competing schools. It's not called Shimmy Cove for nothing. But I don't need wild success, fame, or fortune. I've left those desires behind. The dreams of my younger, more naive self. I came here for peace.
Is it my turn now? Very well. My name is Veronique. I didn't give myself a dance name. I think I'm exotic enough for anyone already. I've been called the reigning queen of belly dance in Shimmy Cove. The most hired, the most highly paid performer, the most qualified instructor, and certainly the busiest. At my studio, the Cabaret Nation, I have 300 students. If that doesn't seem like many, consider that the entire population of Shimmy Cove is under 3,000. I guess it may seem silly to be so serious about it, belly dance, but it's not. Silly, I mean, it's anything but that. I heard about the new studio, about Nadine. I never thought she would come back here. We grew up together. We used to be friends. But that was a long time ago, before the accident. And how do I feel about this brand new dolphin jumping into my part of the ocean? I feel fine about it. I'm certainly not worried about some little upstart studio competing with mine. She won't be a problem, but if things change, I can certainly handle her.
My name is Absinthe. I teach in Shimmy Cove, too. I have my own place down by the industrial park. You may have heard of it. Malady Dance. Well, it's a really awesome place. Definitely the most forward-thinking and innovative of all the belly dance studios in Shimmy Cove.
I founded it 2 years ago after I was forced to move to this awkward corner of the world. I heard about the new studio setting up shop. I don't care what they do. I don't care who dances there, and I don't care if the owners like me or not. I also don't care what Miss High and Mighty Veronique thinks of us. Please, Cabaret Nation, give me a break. Stuck in their sad little chiffon skirts, fake smiles pasted on their faces, and their boobs jammed up so high and close together, it's a miracle they aren't smothered by their own cleavage. We don't dance for them. For men. We dance for ourselves. Full stop. Ugh, I hate sequins.
Well, that's something of a hard act to follow. I'm Jack, anyway. I've lived in Shimmy Cove my whole life. I set up my law practice here 10 years ago, and I've been doing very well. Very well indeed. When I heard the new dance studio was owned by Nadine, I couldn't believe it. I never thought she'd come back here. We used to be something of an item before the accident. Anyway, in the past few years, I've become something of a patron of the arts. I pride myself on getting the community involved in events, and in myself being very involved in the community. And when a new dance studio opens, I usually take it upon myself to welcome them to town. And I can be very welcoming. Soon, Nadine. Very soon.
Tensions mount next week when the competing studios vie for the coveted prize of featured dance troupe at the Shimmy Cove Community Fall Festival. Who will impress the town council with their marketing package and get the best performance time? And who will end up sandwiched between the middle school band and the retired fireman's barbershop quartet? Don't miss next week's installment of Shimmy Cove.
So last weekend was Spirit. I heard it was really, really great.
I heard Unmada set was fantastic.
Well, that's a given. They're Unmada.
Unmada. And they tend to, about Tribal Fest time, come out with like basically their new set. And so I'm biding my time on YouTube, trying, waiting, because usually the Tribal Fest set will come up on YouTube. Also, this week, it's not necessarily belly dance related, but is dance related, is the beginning of the Orlando Fringe Festival. So that runs from Thursday, May 14th, until actually Monday, May 25th. Monday, you won't be able to go to OrlandoFringe.com and get tickets, because basically they do best of fringe. So every venue does their top selling show on Monday. So you have to wait and see who gets the top show for the venue and get your tickets then. But it does have, a lot of independent theater groups that do their performances there, including a lot of modern dance and contemporary dance groups. There's also a flamenco group that dances there on a regular basis. So they're there again this year. And so, yeah, plug for the Fringe. I will be there. If you want to come and say hi to Tammy of your podcast,
just let go me know. Empty field and start yelling, yep. And maybe she will hear you.
I will. I will come running. I will probably be by the beer tent a lot. So, in between shows, that's my hangout. Let's see. So we don't have a lot going on really toward the very end of the month, but starting the first weekend of June, two events going on. One locally is Festival on the Nile, so that's festivalonthenile.com, and that's June 5th through the 7th. They're having Dawn from Georgia doing workshops the whole weekend. According to the website, she's doing a lot of walking and popping and zills on top of that, and talking about how how your zills are not connected to your hips. So seems like a really cool, layering technique class. She's also doing a veil workshop and a workshop on stage presence, both as a soloist and as a group. So those are just some of the cool things going on. Also, Friday night, they have a Hofla there, and they're shopping all weekend, and that's at the Ramada Hotel Orlando Celebration. Also that weekend, June 6th and 7th, is Southern Oasis. You can go to alchemydance.com for that. It's in Augusta, Georgia. And typically, we're not doing a whole lot of stuff out of state, but I'm going to be there. It's so exciting. And it's so exciting because it's a whole weekend of Armada. And if you haven't guessed yet, I am such a huge fan. So it'll be 4 workshops Saturday and Sunday. And it's perfect timing. It's like 1 to 5:30. So I can sleep in and go out drinking afterward. So it's great. This is going to be like the best weekend ever. So you will have a full review when I return from that trip.
So
what I remember.
Mm-hmm. Take a picture of Amy with her arm up like she's holding no one so that I can Photoshop myself into it. Because I love her. Yay, Amy.
Maybe I will. I will do that just for you, Mary.
If you do that, I will die laughing because that would be awesome.
If I could talk Amy into doing
She'd
that.
She'd do it. She'd do it.
So that's what's going on around town.
Thank you.
So if you just loved our podcast, like I know you did, you can visit us at yippodcast.com. You can email us at email@yippodcast.com. Skype us at, guess what, yippodcast. Or you can leave us a message at 321-441-3933. Via Skype as well, you can leave us a message. And who knows, if you leave us a message, we may play it on the next episode. If it's good.
If anyone's out there listening, we just want to know. Leave us a message.
Please tell us or email us. Also, on our website, we have it all hooked up so you can subscribe to our podcast via iTunes as well. So, all right. So this has been Tammy.
And this has been Mary.
Signing out for Yip Podcast.
Yip! Yip!